Perhaps just a little explanation over that opening phrase from Peter to Jesus. It was written in their scriptures that you could go up to seven times forgiving somebody. And so it's like, really, Jesus, do I have to go that far? And Jesus says, no, you don't have to go that far. You go much further. Because of the mercy that you have received, treat others in that same way. Handling disputes. We all have them, don't we? We all have them. We all have disputes. We have them in families. Couples have them. Yes. Get your head around this. Even Sarah and I. We have disputes. Friends have them. Do you know, you've heard that phrase, oh, so-and-so, you could have an argument in an empty room. Yeah? That's me. I can. If there's nobody there to sometimes to have an argument with, I'll do it with myself. And sometimes I do it because it's better doing it with myself, because then I save the other person the grief. Right? But disputes, they are there. We will always have them. Jesus is giving us instruction on how we deal with them with grace and mercy. Paul is doing the same. But let me put the context of Paul's letter to those early Christians in that church in Rome into some kind of context. Paul is writing over issues of faith and doctrine. The church in Rome was largely Gentile in nature. But there was a significant Jewish minority in that church who'd come to faith in Christ. But they were struggling because these early Jewish Christians were still very much connected to everything that they'd been taught in the first five books, their first five books, the Pentateuch. The instructions from Moses, from God to Moses, to the people about what they could eat, what they couldn't eat, and all those rules and regulations. And so they were struggling with them. Yeah, but Jesus said, what's this about Jesus? Do we still have to do it? And the Gentile Christians were kind of relaxed and enjoying the freedom, physical freedom, spiritual freedom from that old law that we have when we step into new life with Christ. That's good. What isn't so good is the contempt that they were holding over their Jewish brothers and sisters who were struggling. That's the situation. So tension is rising. And Paul speaks into that situation. He says, look, we've got issues here. But let me tell you, first of all, what you eat and what you don't eat, it's not a matter of salvation. Okay? If you eat something or you don't eat something, that's not going to affect your salvation. Salvation is in and through Christ alone. So let's just put things into perspective, and then let's just love one another and be gracious to one another over these differences. Because when we do that, God gets the glory. And there is nothing that annoys the devil more than Christian brothers and sisters who resolve disputes and disagreements properly with love and grace. So God gets the glory. So if you really want to smack him one in the eye, next time you've got a dispute coming up, think on that, about how you resolve issues. And so we get to our reading then here. Paul is asking the mature Christians of Rome to look gently and lovingly upon the younger Christians, or even those folks who haven't yet made a step for Christ but are exploring. Look gently and considerately upon them with love and with understanding. And we can learn so much from that today. The church today, nationally and internationally, is really struggling over some big issues of doctrine and theology. They're so big that they actually threaten to tear the church apart. They're matters so large that actually at times I just look at it and I'm thinking, How is there ever going to be any loving kind of unity around this? How do you square this circle? Lord, I don't know. But Paul is saying, keep looking to Christ, his saving power. If we keep looking to that, keeping the main thing, and where we've got disagreement, looking at people who've got differing views and different interpretations of what walking as a Christian might mean, or what the scriptures and how the scriptures should be interpreted. He said, look, when we're looking upon that, avoid irritation with your brothers and sisters. Avoid ridiculing your brothers and sisters. Avoid treating your brothers and sisters with contempt. Love and look to Christ. It's a timely reminder for me over these enormous questions that threaten to overwhelm the church. And they've been bubbling away for decades. But somehow it's come out now, bang, and it's in the public domain. And the two main ones that I'm talking about here are issues to do with sexuality and issues of gender identity. And they're huge, and they're in the news just about every single day. And it's causing so much anxiety, not just in the church, outside of it as well. How do we deal with these things? Now, maybe I'll get the opportunity another time to share my thoughts, my interpretations on all of that, and how I've come to that position of thinking. This morning, certainly not it, because it'll need a bit of time to spill that out and to take questions or whatever and to discuss things together. But Paul is saying when we've got these disagreements, they're not trivial. Don't think that any disagreement is trivial, but if it's not affecting the eternal truth of your salvation through Christ Jesus, then we can deal with it in a certain other kind of a way. So what do we do? How do we respond to things that challenge us over issues of doctrine or faith? There's some key things here, I think. First of all, we cannot isolate ourselves from the past. We are who we are, and we are where we are because of everything that's happened before us. You're all sitting here now because of stuff that's taken place in your past. It could be very recent past. Even a conversation yesterday might have, or this morning, or you heard something, might have brought you here this morning. But we cannot isolate ourselves from the past. In the way that we have received and accepted the scriptures and scriptural teaching, we can't isolate ourselves from that. That's part of who we are. Neither can we isolate ourselves from the present, as much as we might want to. We can't isolate ourselves from everything that's going on right now. Jesus reminds us we are in the world, but we are not of the world. Remember that in John's Gospel, chapter 17. We live in a context. And to quote some verses again from Esther, for such a time as this, you and I are now here, facing the challenges we face. How do we deal with those in a godly way that brings glory to him? And some of the big issues that we face, we will not make sense of them until and unless we are prepared to put in some spade work, you know? Do the thinking for yourselves. Yeah, it's good to listen to people share their thoughts and ideas. But you know, I encourage you, my prayer every time I step up somewhere like this and start speaking is, Lord, let me always speak the truth. Don't let me be wayward on your truth, Lord. But you check out. You check out what I say, will you? Don't just take it. Go back and study it for yourself. Read up on it. Get yourself into a position through prayer and reflection so you come to your own resolution over issues. The church must not, should not be driven by world trends and conventions and fads. We shouldn't. The Church of Jesus Christ should be able to stand outside of all of those things and prayerfully reflect upon them. Speak into the situation. So we can't isolate from the past or the present, and neither can we isolate ourselves from the future either. We have a responsibility. Today, we have a responsibility to guard the future. What we do, what we think, what we say as followers of Christ will affect the future, what we are doing now. Our attitudes to one another, our attitudes of different things to do with Scripture, and the way we might worship, the way we do that, the way we invite others, the way we create opportunity for others to hear the Word of God. All of that matters. Do we want a church here in the Dale, in Mount Agra, in 10, 20, 30 years' time? And if so, what are we doing about it today to make sure that people in generations under our own hear that truth of Christ? Where are we with our identity with him? How are you with the idea that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation? Because that's the crux of it. That's what it's all about. It's through him. We need to know it and to share it. I came across this guy in some study a few years ago. He's got the most fabulous name, Rupertus Meldenius. What a great name. Hey? Rupertus Meldenius, right? But he was a medieval scholar and theologian and writer. And he was studying this idea of, well, what do we do over disputes then? And he wrote this, on the essentials of our faith, we need unity. On the non-essentials issues of our faith, we need freedom. And on everything else, we need love. Great, that, isn't it? Over the essentials, unity, non-negotiable. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Non-negotiable. That's it. That's our way to salvation. Other stuff, all right, let's work it through. But it's so easy to fall into judgment, isn't it? I do it. Dead easy. It's dead easy to do it because it's the simplest way of sorting a problem out. I'm right, you're wrong. And you don't think the same way as I do, so I'll go and stand next to somebody who does, because it's just easier that way. It's so easy to fall into that. We make enemies that way, in our mind, if not physically. But Paul reminds us very clearly that we have absolutely no right whatsoever to judge someone with differing ideas to us. Why not? Because we too are under judgment. Except that when we are in Christ, our judgment is before him. As forgiven, as redeemed, as people righteous before the throne of God. But we have no right to judge. And the more mature we are in Christ, the more we should know that. The more mature we are in Christ, the more we should be sharing that and responding to disagreements in that way. Our response needs to be wise, it needs to be godly, it needs to be peaceful. Unity does not necessarily mean uniformity. But Scripture also tells us, doesn't it, that where there is unity, there the Lord commands a blessing. And our unity should always be in Jesus Christ, crucified, died, resurrected, alive, the way to salvation. And again, just this week, it's so easy to hold ourselves in a different way to others, isn't it? We hold others up to a higher standard than we hold ourselves to very often. We can judge and explain our actions and words and behaviour by our intentions. Well, I knew what I want. I knew I didn't mean that. You know, I know that what I meant to say was this. And no, we give ourselves a break, don't we? And others, often, much less so. Over some of the enormous challenges then currently facing us, I have learnt to move to a place of peace by reading, studying, reflecting on Scripture, and then leaving the Holy Spirit to do the convicting. Because that's his job. That's not my job. My job is to share the love of Jesus Christ as I've received it, as I know it, and to love others through that and work our way through it. And if you look towards the end of that letter of Paul to the church in Rome, the last few verses at the end of chapter 16 are good ones for me to wrap up with here, because Paul finishes with these words. He says, "Now to him who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, the message I proclaim about Jesus Christ, in keeping with the revelation of that mystery, but now revealed so that all the Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes from faith, to the only wise God, be glory forever through Jesus Christ." In matters of dispute, God is able to give us everything that we need. But we need to know God's word for us. So we've got to read it, know it, reflect over it, live for him, and give him the glory. But never step back from the truth of what it's all about. We hold fast to that truth. I think it would be